Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. Welcome to 2023, everybody. It's been a long time. How are you guys all doing?
Wonderful.
Heidi?
I'm here.
It's Sammy Joe.
Choosing joy every day.
Oh, shoot. What's up, Salty Soul? What's cracking over there in Pittsburgh, PA, man? How you doing? How you living?
I guess I'm not choosing joy.
You're choosing violence?
Wait, you can choose grace since we have Grace with us.
Oh. I was going to let her introduce herself.
Who's Grace?
Our guest, Grace.
Connor's boot thing.
Oh, okay. You got to say
where is Connor?
Yeah.
He's working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome to 2023, man. How you doing?
Man, it's good. We're going to make this great. I messaged you, Tim, about this because when this came out, the IT world, like, you know, obviously that's our world. And so everybody's talking about it. Everybody at work's talking about it. And so I was like, well, let me see what this is about. Now, I started using this, maybe a week after I got back from over there. So the middle of December. And I think by that time, it's called ChatGPT. So what is ChatGPT? It stands for Generative Pre-Training Transformer. I don't know how that makes it. Yes, but what it is basically it's a language model developed by OpenAI. That's the name of the company. So what they do is this technology that is essentially acting autonomously, or it's not trained, and it's generating replies to questions that you pose it. So I'm going to have you guys. So we're going to talk about it, but think of a question that you would like to ask a machine. And it can be about anything in history, anything in the world. And anyways, so I started using this thing and I was like, okay, let me see how far, you know, if I can trick it or how far it'll go. I was telling my boss, because when I was telling my boss about this, I was like, this is freaky. This is scary. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why, because I sat for like 2.5-3 hours having a conversation with this thing. And I'm going to, I'm telling you. So think about every movie, every sci-fi movie that talked about AI and what's coming. Dude,
weird science.
Shit that's coming that we are not prepared for. And so if right now it's in its primitive state, and if you think about it, it's the dumbest that it will ever be. And it's only going to get smarter.
It's not primitive anymore.
Right. Because right now it's contained. So
no, it's not. It's not.
Yes, it is contained.
And I can get it. I can tell you why it's not contained once you're done.
Okay.
There is an article that just came out that explains
Will Smith's iRobot.
They might have opened it up. But from what I understand, how they explained it was it's contained. So it only has information up until 2021. So anything past that, it's not aware. And the number of words and the library of information that it has, it's limited. So it is limited. And it's right now not generating new knowledge, and it's not testing its knowledge against what other users are throwing at it. So say, for example, you ask it, hey, who was the first president of the United States? And the AI responds with a wrong answer. Say, for example, it says Thomas Jefferson. Well, you can respond back and says, well, no, it's not. It was George Washington. And if it gets enough users to respond to it and correct it, it will understand, right? That it'll make that correction. Right now, it's not there. In its next...
But even if that's wrong.
In its next phase, it will. Exactly, Samantha. But here's the deal. So think about this AI. It's having conversations with millions of people. I heard that within, was it 1 week? It had 1 million users. Compare that to Facebook, or what was the biggest one that blew up?
Facebook.
Facebook, I think, got 1 million users within how many months, Tim? Was it a month or 6 months? It was one of those. It took a while.
I think it was less than 6 months because it took over the colleges.
Right.
It was a college thing.
It replaced MySpace and
right. And it was specifically, and remember, when Facebook,
it was only like Ivy Leagues or something like that.
Right. And then opened it up to schools.
Yep.
Because it's only supposed to be for to connect college kids together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it turned into.
I was in college when that happened.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So now you can understand how this thing is blowing up. So think about how Facebook changed the world. Think about how Google changed the world. Now, I was telling somebody about this And I said, look, you don't understand what this means. And they're like, well, what's the big deal? Like, I can just go to Google and ask it and ask the question to get the answer. Sure. But it is the same thing as if somebody who you had told them about Google and said, look, you don't have to go to the library, you know, get a library card, go find a book, read it in the book, write your notes down. You can sit down in front of a computer and get this information. It's a matter of not being able to access the information. It's about time. It's about speed. Right. And so this is that revolutionary compared to what Google did. Because right now, say, for example, you ask Google, how do I do this X, whatever. So Google's going to take you to a bunch of sites and it's going to present to you. And so you have to go decipher and find the one that you want, right? This thing is going to answer you assertively. It's going to answer you like it knows it does. Like I'm telling you, I've tested this. Yeah,
but we're doing this already with Siri and Alexa.
This is on steroids.
No. Yeah. Siri and Alexa is information. This is answering questions and giving you step by step. It's okay. We're going to test it.
This is the other thing real quick too. I was going to say, I read something. I've been following people who have been talking about it and it's very interesting. But one of the things that I saw the other day was actually this guy. I don't know what kind of profession it is, but it's like, you know, like smart, like scientist or something. Anyways, but he asked it to write like, hey, I would like you to write from this version of like what I've said to this. And they came up with it together. And he was like, it was like me doing it. And I don't even know those answers. Right. It was like that. Like it was wild.
Wow.
This thing can write music.
We're going to test
stories,
it.
I'm telling everything.
I told it to write the story of Moses. Listen, the story of Moses as if it was written by Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
It wrote it. Yes, exactly. So the thing is wow. I'm telling you.
I kind of want to hear that.
Okay, honestly thinking to us to be like, hey, will you write what our synopsis is for these podcasts? So yes, then, like, you don't have to do the work.
I did that.
No. Yeah.
I'm telling you. So Matt, just to get to the point that you just said right now, let me show you guys my screen. Do you guys see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. But to your point, Samantha, I was like, okay, you know what? This is a topic that we're going to talk about today. And let me make this bigger.
Right? You should totally teach her because she's going to be back a lot and she could totally take this role on.
I'm telling just saying. You, today, students are using this to write their college papers, to write all their, I'm telling
you. Oh, wow.
You, yes.
Yeah, they are.
This is true. So listen, look at this. I said, provide a list of topics to discuss GPT on a podcast. And it wrote it. Okay. Not only did it write it, and then I said, okay, provide an so it said, introduction to GPT and its capabilities as a language. Provide an introduction to GPT and its capabilities as a language model. It's answered me. I'm telling you guys. Now, because it's so big, I had like, I think I had 30, 40 conversations with this thing. I'm talking about, okay, think about this scenario. All right. You guys know I'm on the online dating crap, right? So, and this is where this gets scary because if an AI who is going out and harvesting all this knowledge and trying to find out what replies get the best response, think about how people can use this, right? So for example, if somebody says, ask me a question, well, what do you like to do? And I say, I don't fucking know how to have a conversation. Let me ask ChatGPT what's the best answer to provide to this question.
Oh my God.
Do you understand?
Well, even like companies, but companies, that how they're going to get to us too about, I mean, social medias to like just everything.
So you asked it and it wrote all this for you, but how do you verify? Are you just taking it for its word or are you going to go and challenge it and do your research to see if it's true or not? Right.
You're absolutely right, Heidi. Right. So right now, like, because it is contained, maybe Tim says it's not, but according to them, it's contained. So it's not able to bounce off its ideas because it has ideas based on what the community. But say, for example, if I had responded what it had told me and then I got rejected, I would have come back and said, well, that didn't work. You lied. And so then it would adjust itself to find the better response. And there's nobody controlling this thing. It's acting autonomously. It's making these decisions. Think about if you have a question that you want to ask it, I promise you, I was having fucking conversations. Let me see if I can bring up one of these conversations.
Is this something that you pay to use?
No, it's free.
It's free.
So in theory, let's say Jerry Bruckheimer can log into this thing and say, write the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yes.
Yeah. This is dangerous.
It'll take the things that he's done previously, and it'll know how he writes it and speaks it and do the same thing.
So they can also create new music with this.
Yep.
If you give it, like, if you let it sit there and listen hours on time for like a bunch of country music and tell it write a song based off of country music, it will write its own song.
Well,
wait. So you've actually
I
haven't done it personally, but I know people use these on their college essays. We did this in chemistry.
That's what I'm asking. So you're like,
remember, AI. It's not just Chat GPT, right? They could. So I this can't do it, but there's other AI that is getting so good that it can paint pictures.
Yes.
And people are using the AI generated images.
We had that conversation.
No, but now it's even from the last time we've had that conversation, it has exploded now to where artists are going, we're fucked. Because
I think everyone's fucked. Because,
and I'm going to explain why.
This is going to become everyone's thinking. No one's going to think for themselves anymore. They're going to type things in there and they're going to
explain. They've been wanting that forever.
Come out. I'm going to explain why everybody's fucked. Okay. When I said it's not contained anymore, not ChatGPT per se, but this AI, listen to this, right? Out of Axios from yesterday. Marketing agency enlists AI interns.
Okay? Yep.
Instead of hiring human interns, Codeword, a tech marketing agency with We Communications, is leaning on artificial intelligence technology to complete menial yet necessary tasks. Okay. So now they're using AI to basically do intern work, data entry, and just answering phones and shit like that. So listen, this is why it matters. As the economy tightens, more and more industries are beginning to capitalize on tools like ChatGPT and AI image generators like DALL-E 2 in place of living, breathing talent. Okay. The interns are technically digital software models that create their own images and name themselves Aiko and Aiden. Why they always got those weird names, I don't know. The pair will work on graphic designs, do research, and generate editorial content. Okay? We are at the point where AI is becoming your source of truth. So they will become your journalists. They will become your editorials.
But they have to be there.
No, they don't.
No.
You can feed the information. And so you can feed bad information into shit.
I agree with that.
And now all of a sudden, when we see misinformation, if AI generated, it can scan the whole internet and put it all together, and now it's real bullshit because you can manipulate that stuff. Right. If you're
like
Google,
the internet's manipulated now. Right. What were you going to say?
Wasn't Sam just talking about in some airports are using face recognition to check in instead of actually using TSA?
Yeah. So that's been around. So remember that. So TSA has a pilot program, but there's also the Clear, right? It's like Clear Pass or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole separate program outside of TSA. So if you, and that's a paid for service, you pay like $100 a month or something like
that.
Right. But even venues are starting to use it. Right. So it's been going on for a while, but it's starting to get bigger and bigger, but people are paying for convenience. But when you're paying for convenience, you're using yourself as the convenience. That is dangerous. Again, think about everything we talked about. World Economic Forum.
Well, I also heard
AI.
This is for the airports. That they were trying to get that banned because they were like, hey, that's against your like rights because an airport wanted to do it. So that means like that's a consent. You're saying, oh yeah, I want you to. But if you go to airports and they're like, no, if you come in through it, we're going to scan your face and do all that stuff.
So they do it in Mexico.
There's got to be some type of thing when you book your ticket though, something in the
fine print. But that's what I'm saying, that they're having these debates right now and there's under like legislation in certain I don't know if it was California. Where was it? I saw the article. I forget. But like they were having this exact debate and it was like up in litigation because people were complaining like, I do not want my, you know, I don't want to have to go through this to travel. I don't want to have to do this.
We went to Mexico. When we went to Mexico, we walked right through. I mean, this thing was a body heat scanner, face recognition, everything. I looked at Nelson. I was like, what the hell is
this? And then you're wondering how trafficking and all this stuff still actually exists.
Yeah. And pretty soon they're going
to
be like,
because they want it to. Exactly. They want that to go.
But this all ties together to the AI.
Yeah. It ties to a dystopian future that's coming, right? Because once all these technologies merge, you know, biotechnology, you know, automation.
I don't
want to
live in a pod and just like, I know. And I'm like, oh,
you will own nothing. You will own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Disgusting.
You were going to say, Jeremy?
I, I guess I was agreeing. I forget exactly what I was going to say, but I'm agreeing with Samantha, right? This vision of just what I'm hearing now and my projection of what's going to happen in the future, I don't want to be involved in that. It's going to be a world full of people who don't think. They just accept whatever the GPT or whatever this is tells them as fact. And
well,
you know, who controls that?
Today,
and
unfortunately, I don't think we get to opt out. This is what the future looks like.
We do get to opt out. There is a way to opt out of all this.
How? Get rid of all your technology and go live in a compound
basically
up in the mountains?
And everybody homesteads. And you get enough like-minded people with enough money to where you could build your own communities and you are self-reliant. Sorry. This is, it's either you're
I'm not saying I'm against that.
So
I'm
just it's either you're in the Matrix. I mean, as much as these movies, we always quote them and everything. We're truly in this world now of you either.
It's here.
You're either in the Matrix. Or,
Tim, I think what Tim just described to me is Amish 2.0.
Yeah.
We're going to become the people that are like, no, this technology it's too much. It's
think
doing
of Zion
too much thinking.
Matrix.
It's doing too much decision making. It's not right. We don't want to be involved in that. Or, and we're going to become little pods within, you know, rural villages or whatever, where we're just like, no, you guys, you keep your...
You and your vaccines and everything.
Yeah. You guys just keep all that. And West ruin Virginia, your lives, baby. And we're going to live out in, you know, have, but I mean, not like Amish where we don't have cars or things like that. We'll still have cars and we'll still have TVs and we'll have those things, but we just won't be diving into it head first like this stuff is, you know? I mean,
guess what? It's a good thing I keep all my books that you wanted me to get rid of.
Seriously. No, but seriously, dude, like this, we're getting to the point where this technology and this is what we do for a living. We're technologists.
Yeah.
So we're watching this and we're like, this is cool.
No, I don't think it's cool at all.
But right? Like you see
the social dilemma, that same thing.
Right.
People who created that thing, man, it changed
like,
my
like
world.
Like you see, all this, and you're like, oh my god, like technology, like this is my world of technology. But then you're like, this is so dangerous because you see already what just a cell phone in people's hand has done to them.
Well,
and now you add this.
Yeah. What I will say is this. What I will say is this. Right. I think right now it's the who coined the term. Was it Kurzweil? He said the point of singularity, basically when technology and when artificial intelligence reaches a point where it's equivalent to the knowledge and understanding and the wisdom of a human being, right? And we are quickly getting to that point of singularity. And it's going to become to the point where I think our relationship with AI is going to be the equivalent of, say, a human being or a scientist trying to describe, you know, quantum physics to a fucking dog. That's how technology is going to get to the point with human beings. It's going to, you know, realize that we are very limited in our capacity for knowledge and understanding. So, but I did want to bring this up because Elon Musk right now is working on, you guys know this, Neuralink. Again, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, because again, this guy is paving and he's leading in some of this. He has said that he is going to create a way for human beings to protect themselves against AI, right? And essentially make it an extension of ourselves, meaning that we harness this power in the event that AI were to become too powerful, too strong, too, you know what I mean? But it's quickly moving into that. It really is. This thing.
So wait, what is he doing? I'm more interested in that.
It's called, chip yourself.
Yeah. It's called Neuralink, and he's basically tapping into the brain. So again, right now we think of, you know, the phone right now is an extension of ourselves, right? We think, oh, this is, you know, whatever. But people today can't live without their phones. I mean, think about how we did it in the 80s, folks. Nobody had a phone.
I loved it. I literally, when my sister wanted a phone, I was like,
you said you loved it, but I guarantee you check your phone like 100 times today. And so we are so...
I live on my phone now.
Exactly. I mean, but you have to. You have to in order to have a job, in order to be able to live in the society. You have to. So when people think I'm not going to participate, then you are not going to participate in the future that's coming. And so we have to prepare for that. And that future is quicker than we think, folks. So you need to start making moves as far as...
I mean, there's got to be certain adaptations to...
It's
the changes that are coming and the changes that are right.
Put it this way. The reason why the adaptation. So people are adapting to it. But now the problem is this is moving so fast. They can't even get legislation.
Yeah,
implemented
exactly.
Fast enough
to combat this. And especially now, they can't get anything done fast enough because you do have a you have a split government. So for them to agree on anything right now, I mean, if the sky's blue, it's purple. If it's green, it's blue.
You think the politicians want this snuffed out? They're going to use the hell out of this. Well, and manipulate people left, right, and center.
They'll be using CBC radio while the rest of us are getting fucked royally.
You know, the CCP is using it. Every country today, CCP, every country right now is has their own version of this. And whoever can get there the quickest is who's going to lead the way for this. I'm telling you. Like, and so to your point, Jeremy, look, should we not do it? Sure. But then China beats us
we
to
can't
get
not
to
do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have to understand it and do it.
But
we
we've all talked about, and I think it takes like a certain mindset of people who, you know, it's everything's a slippery slope. Everything we do in life is a slippery slope, but it's the awareness. And this is even outside of devices, the human, you know, concept of like how emotions and all that stuff in knowing and controlling that. And so when you're aware, that's like the first step, right? It's like aware that you have this issue or that something's happening. And then the second thing is then like, what are you doing about it? So the same thing with technology is like, we know we have it. We know we use it. Life has to happen. But having that balance, the hot and cold, the yin and yang, to realize how much it does impact us. And you as a person try to realize, hey, I'm on my phone or whatever. Hey, I'm putting it down right now. I know I need this device for my work or whatever it is, but I'm with my kids right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it go. Yeah. But that takes you wanting to do it. It takes your awareness that maybe you haven't done it. It takes maybe someone else being like, hey, focus with me. Like, get off that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it takes people who want to do that. And then there's some people who are fine with putting on their little goggles and like being in their virtual world and like wanting to slough it out.
Right. Right. And to that point, after I watched Social Dilemma, my phone time cut in half. I turned off my notifications, my social media, I quit. And I even, to the point where people were like, you used to post the kids competing and you don't. I said, yeah, you're right. Because I put my freaking phone away, pay attention and be in the moment. And I'm sorry, you're not my priority. I'm like, you're not my priority. Social media is not my priority. Whatever's not my, like we did this year and a half ago where we pulled out our phones and we all checked to see what our screen time looked like. Remember?
Yes.
And we're like, well, who had who? And
Tim lost that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jules was like, what the hell? Because she had like 8.5 hours or something. Jesus. And then we found out it was because she was using maps.
Yeah.
Because she had been driving that day. They were vacationing or driving or whatever that day. But it's an eye opener. So to what Sammy Joe is saying is, yeah, we have to adapt in the sense of understanding what's out there and figure out how it's going to. But then at the same time, how do we cut it off? How do we stop it? You know, in my office, if I see your cell phone in my office, I lose my crap. It is part of my interview process to tell people I have a pet peeve about your phone. Like, so, and it's worked. I mean, I've got a healthy staff of women from 20 years old to 68 years old. I don't see phones anymore. You know, don't let me see you with an AirPod in your ear on your phone while you're trying to work. Like, no, you can't do this job and be listening to something from your phone on your ear. So I think being aware, being educated, understanding, using it where we need to use it, but then shutting it off is a very critical, important step. And we need to teach the generations coming up the same
13
things.
Hours and 28 minutes on Twitter.
Okay. So to your point, coming to this, what you were talking about, Heidi, and so shutting it off when you know you need to shut it off. Okay. Well, here's the question. How does that translate into this AI? Because say, for example, because as Grace was saying that some students are already using it, and I know, and this is very common. I promise you, this is already being used. I was telling my boss about this and he's like, you know what? Well, my daughter needs to write a paper. So he was telling me the next day and he's like, you know, and she put that on that thing, what the topic was, this thing wrote, he even said it, you know, whatever, a 600 or whatever, word paper. And the thing did it. Okay. It did it. And she was, all she did is change a few words and now it's hers. Yep. Now here's the deal. How do you refrain from using that when your competition, when everybody else around you is? So the problem will be that those who don't adapt will die. I mean, figuratively speaking, but maybe in the future they will eventually, you know, because it will be weeded out because they're not adapting to the technology.
But again, I'm not saying don't adapt. Adapt, utilize it where you need to utilize it. So that
how does
you
that
have
translate
that
to say if somebody says, well, like at what point do you not use it? At what point do you not use ChatGPT? For example, today, you know, you don't know how to change a tire. Freaking ask ChatGPT. You don't know how to do this yet. You can ask this thing anything and it's going to give you an answer. So again, I want you guys to think of a question that you guys want to ask.
There's only one thing it did not answer.
Yeah.
What is a woman?
What is
a woman?
Yeah, I saw
Are
that.
Are you kidding me?
No, so remember, yeah. Really? I brought
it's,
up.
It's control. Wait, again, it's contained.
What about what is a man?
I brought up ChatGPT.
Men are confusing.
Before.
It, you ask a man a
like,
question.
Like when it first came out together. And I saw like Posobiec and everybody using it, I was like, what the hell is it? I was like, whoa. And I texted him and I talked about it on the show and we kind of like just over, you know, and then this thing exploded now. When I saw this like 2 months ago, I was like, this is fucking insane. But I think this was only open. It was either this or Google has their own version of this.
Nobody.
It was something that was only specific
is when this thing opened up.
Google. Right. But there was something that Google had that was specific to Androids that were very similar to this, where you could say, write a story about Trump and Dr. Seuss, and it would put together a whole story about it.
You know, if
because Tim has talked about it.
Yeah, everybody's been talking about this. So the thing is like if you think about it, let me show you guys the story because again, I just asked it to do this. Okay, this is not a human being who did this. I just said write the next chapter of the Pirates of the Caribbean as if it was written by Dr. Seuss. So we're gonna read it here. This is. That's freaking insane, guys. Let me show you guys. See my screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. On a bright sunny day in a Caribbean bay, sailed the ship with a skull and crossbones, the Black Pearl, Jack Sparrow's own. I guess I have to rhyme it, right? Like, yeah. With a you-hoo-hoo and a bottle of rum.
Yo-ho-ho.
Oh, sorry.
And a bottle of rum.
Yeah. And go ahead, read it.
With a yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum, he and his crew set out to have some fun. But little did they know they'd soon face a foe. A powerful witch with magic so grand has cursed the sea and all the land. She sought the trident of Poseidon to rule the seas, her ambition unbridled and ridden. Jack and his crew, with sword in hand, set out to stop her plans and make a stand. They sailed the ends of the earth, faced giant squids, and battled with mermaids.
Yeah.
In the end, there's a glare, so hang on.
Oh, yeah,
in the end, they emerged victorious. The witch was defeated, her curse lifted, and Jack Sparrow, with his ship and crew, sailed off to the sunset, ready for more adventures anew. The end, Dr. Seuss.
Again.
That's crazy. That actually sounds better than the book.
Did it in 3 seconds, guys.
Yeah. Well, so the one thing, though, to your point about it being wrong, or quote unquote being wrong, it makes some reference to Poseidon's trident. They already used that in one of the movies and destroyed it, so they can't use it again. So it's close. It's a reason. It's an interesting story, right? A magical witch cursing the sea.
But you have to know all those.
But again,
to know that's not right. Even.
Exactly. He's supposed to. He's AI.
No, but the person who's also reading it, because I'm just I want to hear a story. Cool. I wouldn't know that was in the first one.
And obviously, you put in there as written by Dr. Seuss. I'm thinking a whole 2 hour long movie.
It will write it.
Right.
It will write it, Jeremy.
But to the whole point that we were all making, there's parts of this that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know, you're going to consume what is being told to you
as
its word and not know that it's wrong.
Yeah,
right.
She didn't know it was wrong.
I had no idea.
Or if it's, again, it's like, oh, this is a story. It's like, does it bother me that it's wrong?
Does the AI realize that Pirates of the Caribbean is an existing story?
Does it know it's wrong, which it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No, yeah.
I would love for it to tell me a story about what happened during World War II and see how it writes that story. And is that an accurate story or is that fitting the narrative of what they're trying to push now in the public schools that certain things didn't happen during World War II? Or slavery, or like
Columbus.
Things they're trying to wipe out of history.
Right.
Columbus. Yeah, there's another, you can't do
so,
it anymore.
So think about it now, depending on how they do it, because to your point, if they have it contained, right, if they contain it, And to your point, Heidi, they put some rails and they'll say, well, never, don't go into this topic or don't cover this, or, you know, they put restraints on it. To your point, Heidi, it could be used as a bad thing, but ChatGPT is just the first iteration of this. This is going to, every single, look, right now, Google has to deploy their own version anytime soon, or else they're out of the picture. Again, this is a true story, guys. I started using this thing. So you know how we're in IT, right? If I'm looking, how do I script to do this? Because right now we're doing migrations from old arrays to new ones. And I said, well, I want to be able to script this in, you know, whatever language. I asked that question. This thing did it. It wrote the script. It did the whole thing.
Did it work?
Yes.
No way.
Tim, I'm telling you, this is scary. Yes. So
anybody could be an engineer.
You remember when everybody was telling, learn to code, learn to code, learn to code. No, right now, every freaking coder right now is scared for their jobs. Because again, I asked it to script this and it did it in 3 fucking seconds.
Because I got to write a PowerShell script, so I might.
Okay.
Oh my God, why would you want
to do it? Look, let's just do this simple. Write a PowerShell script that will telnet to
that will
posts at a time or sequentially.
Tim's eyes are good. He's like, ching, ching.
Fuck, man.
My life just got easier.
Know how long I have to Google
Tim,
to find?
Look at this.
I can't see anything.
We can't see it.
No, it's not on. Yeah.
Look at this.
No way. That's actually right.
Tim. I'm telling you.
Even Jeremy's eyes are lighting up. He's like,
impact of this thing.
Hey, that's fine. You know what? Gary Vee was actually talking about it.
Learn to code.
How, and then being like,
Cheers
are mad. Go ahead.
Did you see what it said to us? Tell them it's not a secure protocol. We recommend using SSH.
Yes, Jeremy.
Oh my God.
SSH. You are not ready.
IT talk.
Wow.
Stuff.
Wow, Jeremy.
Bro, this is.
Yeah, there you go. I got to sell all my shit and move out to the middle of nowhere.
You're not ready.
So,
Jeremy, no, think about it.
You need somebody to reboot the server.
But use it for how we need it. But then anything else, we don't care.
Okay, so think about this, Jeremy, right? Now, you're in an interview, you know, and somebody, and they're right now, and since everything's virtual, right? This is going to change real quick. And you're in an interview and you're like, okay, cool. Can you do a script on this? And you just go to this fucking thing and it'll do it. And you like, here it is. Boom. They don't know any different. They don't know that you didn't write it.
But my question is if they're using the same software, they're using the same AI, if that particular, if the person who interviewed them also goes on and does it, will they see the exact same script?
And that's the thing with this AI. It responds differently for
each person?
No. Yeah. Like Jeremy can log in right now and ask it the same question, worded the same way. It's going to respond to him differently. It's going to give him different variables.
I think it would depend on how complicated the question is.
Exactly.
If you asked it something real simple, where there's really, really just kind of one answer,
one plus,
you may get the same response. But if you asked it something like, write me another Pirates of the Caribbean by Dr. Seuss, you would probably get a different one because that is a very complicated.
But you could probably get similar pieces.
Even the code.
Yeah.
It writes it differently. You know how you have to put variables in for each one of the entries for the host, right?
Uses different variables.
It's going to use a different variable. Yes. I'm telling you, I tested this. It's fucking weird, man.
Okay.
I want to see the Harry Potter and Dr. Seuss version.
Right?
No, let's think of one that's completely off. Again, I did the story of Moses, but think of something that, you know, I don't know. Oh, you know what we should do? 50 Shades of Grey.
Wait, hold on.
50 Shades of Grey?
I want to know something.
Oh,
no.
Yes.
50 Shades of Grey
by
Dave.
Yes, do it.
50 Shades of Grey. Written by Joe Biden.
Oh my! No!
Oh my God!
He doesn't want to get kicked off.
Flag.
Yeah.
By Donald Trump.
By Dr. Seuss. I like that one.
It was huge.
50 Shades of Grey.
It was huge.
It was bigly.
And Grey is spelled with an E. I know those books well.
With his great big beautiful brown eyes, he caressed her with.
That's
tongue.
Not how it goes. Yeah. It's
more
like red.
No, in Trump.
All right, I'm going to mute.
Honestly, just
in Trump's voice. Hey.
I'm curious.
I'm saying 50 Shades of Grey in Trump's voice.
in Trump's voice?
Yeah, or but
in
we
Trump's
want
words. Huge, bigly. That fits Shades of Gray.
Could you imagine him?
Oh, inappropriate
that,
content. It didn't do it because it's 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, so there is some. Okay.
So but there no. are some stipulations
on
to this.
On this one, right? Imagine there's going to be eventually.
Okay, so do the one I was talking about earlier with the World War II.
They're going to put movie
the World War II events of World War II as written by Dr. Seuss.
It, do you? Is there a limit to what it will return?
Well,
as far as
no, it hasn't given me
text.
No, Jeremy.
It's just text, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all text. So, like, if you were to actually to your point, Saul, right down the road, sometime in our lifetime, you would be able to go to a system like this on your Friday night date night.
Yeah,
and you could tell it write a romantic comedy with a character named Heidi and a character named Jeremy.
Holy shit!
And fall in love, blah blah blah.
Yeah. Yes.
And it will write, it will make a movie that you can sit down with your date and okay. watch at your
Jeremy,
house. That is custom.
Go back up to the front.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? Look, I'm going to do this because the more information that you give it, the better it is at it. All right. So I'm going to say Heidi and Jeremy met at a bar. Saul was there. Write a story. Okay.
Okay.
That's horrible. Once upon a time in a cozy little bar, Jeremy and Heidi met and they went, wow, what a star.
Sipping on his gin.
Oh, it's rhyming.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, I think we, oh no. Okay. Here's another thing because it understands context. So it thinks that I meant it in Dr. Zeus still.
In Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. So if I have to open up a new chat because this thing understands
your Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you didn't even say Dr. Seuss.
Can you save this and send it, please? Because
They exchanged numbers and went their separate ways, but Saul's chin will always be in funny phase.
All right. I'm telling you,
you're not ready for this.
I'm sorry. It was a funny phrase. Yeah. Was it phase or phrase? I missed that.
It only took phase. 35 years.
Well, okay. So, stop at the top. I'll read it here. Once upon a time in a cozy little bar, Heidi and Jeremy met and they went, wow. What a star. Saul was there. Saul was also there sipping on his gin.
Whiskey.
Thirsty. But he was too busy staring at his own chin. Why would you?
Talk about right. Talk about right. Right before the carnivore diet, that made sense.
Jeremy and Heidi hit it off right away. Saul was still staring with nothing much to say. They laughed and joked and had a great time while Saul just sat there feeding like a
feeling
like a mime. It's a little blurry right here.
It sounds about right.
Then as fate would have it, Saul's chin began to itch. He scratched and scratched, but it didn't switch.
It just wouldn't switch.
How blind are you, bro?
I have
me to read it?
I have issues. Heidi and Jeremy couldn't help but stare as Saul's chin grew and grew. Like a giant hair.
Ew. My big beard.
Sorry, Dr. Seuss.
Wait, does it know that you have a beard?
I have no idea. Oh. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I don't think it does.
Something happened.
Oh, wow. Saul's chin had turned into a giant ball of fluff. It was so big, it was like a giant puff. Heidi and Jeremy couldn't stop laughing while Saul just sat there. Saul just sat there, chin a-guffing. Guffing.
He's supposed to be gaffing, but it sounds better.
But in the end, they all had a great time, and Saul's chin eventually returned to its prime. They exchanged numbers and went their separate ways, but Saul's chin will always be a funny face.
Wow. Like Saul, like,
face. It's a play on face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a Dr. Seuss for sure.
Yeah, that is very Dr.
You know what you should do? Be like, hey, dude, Tim's love life. It's Dr. Seuss's voice.
Oh, dear Lord.
Hopeless love life.
Do like...
No, seriously. I want to see what they write.
When he was 12, he met Manola.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
It wiggled and he...
I'm curious. If you ask
tried
it,
many different oils, even canola.
If you ask it to do something about the Salty Show,
yeah.
Does it know the podcast enough to know how to integrate it yet?
No, but it will, right? So right now it was limited... Yeah. To the, I think, the, okay, so I have the data here. 175 million words was put into ChatGPT-3, which is the version we're on right now. GPT-4 has 100 trillion.
Mm. Shit.
This is insane, homie. The next version of the ship.
Scary. Oh, I was going to ask a question and it just looked
my head. Think of a question to ask this thing. Samantha,
I was going
to
ask.
Do you need to reset it though to make sure it's not doing the Dr. Seuss stuff? Because that you didn't say anything about Dr. Seuss. Get it?
You have to do a new chat because again, this thing understands context. Like if I was sitting down having conversations with this fucking thing.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the Big Bang Theory episode where what's his name? Raj gets to the iPhone. He's talking to Siri and he ends up falling in love with her.
Yes. The movie Her. Like there's,
I never saw that, but similar to that. Yeah.
That's why I was like, I know with Siri, there's been times where the watch will catch my conversation and it'll respond and I'm like, shut up. And it starts talking back to me. So I'm like, to what level are we? Touching on it, we were already touching on it some, and
it's obviously learned that Saul's a Dr. Seuss fan because everything that he types in there now spits back out as Dr. Seuss. Again,
it was in the conversation that I was. So you create a new chat to create content.
It knows that this chat session, this guy's got a hard on for Dr. Seuss.
Since we're talking about the Apple Watches, have you heard about how Alexas have been calling 911 during
sex?
No.
Oh.
No.
During rape?
It's calling 911 during what?
Oh, just like calling 911 randomly?
Not randomly, but like break-ins, distress, really? Things like that. Like Alexa will
It's starting to pick
it
up.
It will pick
it's
up.
Always, it's always been listening. It's always been listening and picking up.
Yes. Yeah.
Always to the point that you don't say call 911, but it's still calling 911. Yeah. It's doing
this is why
it.
I don't have
that,
Alexa.
I mean, the fact that it's doing that now it's is something else. I'm saying it's always been heard you because your phone probably can too, but they just don't have it, like you said, where it's actually doing it. But I know that like with the devices, when it first, I don't want to say first came out, but like I had one, like my mom had one, you could be like, call, you know, like call my mom. And then it would ping and open it up and I could hear what was happening and it wouldn't always, you know, be like, hi, that person's here.
Oh my God.
That's why it was like real sketchy.
They advertise the new Apple Watch with the advertisement I saw, this guy was mountain biking, right? And he took a fall. He fell off his bike, whatever. And his watch, whatever, called 911 saying, this my owner or whatever was not responding. He took a violent, you know, shock.
That's what we set dad up on. Right. Remember?
My question is, let's say he's riding his bike and the band breaks and it falls down the mountainside. Is it going to try to call the paramedics to come air evac him out of the canyon that he's not in?
It shuts off when it's not attached to the skin.
Yeah, it has.
A sensor on the back that has to be on the skin. I can answer that. We have an Alexa in the office, and I had a client few years back. He came in to talk to me about something, and he looked and he saw us sitting on the ground. He says, I need to have a personal conversation with my insurance agent. And he pointed and he goes, that thing listens to it all regardless. And I'm like, yep, you're right. So I unplugged it and removed it and then closed my office door so that we could talk because of that reason. Cause think about it. It has to listen.
Yeah. Well, the same thing with your cell phone.
Your phone is listening.
Actually have, sorry, off, but I'm
sure. I turn it off on my phone, but I don't have it off on my watch.
I was watching a video on how the FBI uses certain tactics, especially during like hostage negotiations or, you know, unaliving events, you know, when somebody wants to unalive themselves. You know, there's certain conversations, techniques, you know, that they use to be able to persuade somebody to not do certain things, right? Harm people or whatever. And these are social behavior that we all have that they know about, right? One of them is mirroring somebody, right? So for example, if you're having a conversation with somebody and if you just mirror exactly what they just said, people feel, and they've done tests on this where, you know, I think at a restaurant, they had like, you know, the waitresses, a set of waitresses would just say, okay, cool, you know, words of affirmation. But then they would have another set of waitresses who would be like, repeat exactly what the person said. Those people got like 70% higher tips because they mirrored exactly what they said. Okay, so again, this is a social behavior that we all have and that we're like, oh, I would never be socially conditioned. No, but here's the thing. And it's not just your phone. It's not just Alexa. It's not just all these devices that are listening to us because there's the Internet of Things right now. Everything is fucking getting hooked up. The apps that you're using, there's apps like, TikTok, which China is harvesting all this data, learning about your you know, your routines, what you like, things that you buy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Imagine,
really?
Imagine when this AI is going to be able to manipulate you into believing certain things. This is where we are headed, folks. And we're not understanding the implications, the ramifications that this technology is going to have on future generations and the future generation, because us, we're going to be like, oh, I would never do it. Future generations are eating it up, guys. They're eating it up. They are.
They're not future.
But it's the even current generations. Yeah, I was just going to say that because I have a young lady that works for me. She's 20 years old. And it She's came legal. Up about how she was voting and how we voted, you know, and we were having a conversation and she's like, well, but they told me on TV and social media that this candidate was going to take away this medicine that I need, that I have to have for my life. Like
they are doing told targeted me, ads.
Yeah. And I said that he didn't, he never, that particular candidate, I go, that is not what he said. And she said, but that's what they said. That's what the ad said.
This is the
and
dumb
I said,
generation.
Did you go read exactly what was said? And did you go do the, and she said, no, because they told me on TV and on the social media ads and on the
pretty soon GPT is going to
And
tell
I said,
everybody.
I went, yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Then of course this is after the vote already happened. Right. And then, so then I went back and I was like, there were things that she brought up and I said, okay, well go read this, go look at this, go do. And she came back and she's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, but that's how they're doing it, right? So you think this AI thing is going to be any different?
No,
of course it's not. It's going to be worse.
Because it's going to take away all of your individual thinking.
Yeah, and go do your, like, now where are you going to go do your research at? Because you're going to pick it up and see it anyways.
To Saul's point, let's say I go out to Google and I want to learn, I want to get a pretzel recipe, right?
Yeah.
And so I go out and I type in pretzel recipe, right? And you're going to find 28 different websites that have pretzel recipes on.
And you get to choose.
And I get to, I open them up and I look at it and go, yeah, no, I don't like that. Or no, I don't like that ingredient. Right. I don't like that ingredient. You know, and you go through all 28 and you make your decision, right? Or you pick multiple things from different recipes and you put your own together.
Right.
Right.
This, people aren't even going to do that anymore. They're just going to be like, I need a pretzel recipe. GPT. What is it? GPT.
ChatGPT.
GPT is going to come back with, this is your recipe, and they're going to be like, ooh, okay,
and
that's
guess what?
It.
This is what
and
they want,
what?
Though.
And they're going to pick the safest recipe,
which is not really.
Have you guys?
Which is not really the recipe that we want that has the real pretzel, right?
Because
the lie that you
use, use a bunch of oil
more, right?
So this conversation that we're having right now, to me, this is the culmination. Wow. I don't know why I couldn't say it. The culmination.
He has a colon on the mind.
Everything that I've been fucking screaming about on this show for the last 2 years.
Not everything.
No.
This is the pinnacle of it all. This is where people are at. People want everything thinking for them. They want to ask a question, get an answer, and go, that is fact, and this is what we're doing. This is it. They almost call this out to a T. In the Fourth Industrial Revolution book,
yes.
by Schwab. They talk about AI and machine learning and how it's going to grow and incorporate our life. They talk about this. They bring this up in the Great Reset book, in the Great Narrative book. This has been their plan. And they know it's harder for adults that are kind of like already been, you know, that we have a brain that we know what it's like to live in the wild. These young kids that have grown up on this. The 9/11 generation, that's what they are.
With 9/11,
somebody did something.
But the 9/11 generations will never know what it's like to actually think on their own without technology.
Are you talking about the ones born after
9/11? Right.
Okay.
The 9/11. That's what we call
just
it.
During and
yeah. After. The 9/11.
Oh no, I was being sarcastic.
You don't understand it. Same thing.
Right. So, the kids born after 9/11. Have no idea what it's like to think on their own without technology. They don't know anything about life without a smartphone. There's a lot of people your age that have no idea what 9/11 even is and why it's important and why people are celebrating.
She's 44 years old.
Comes down to good parenting and you learn stuff. But majority of these kids do not understand a lot of these things and they rely on these phones. And they've capitalized on it. So with TikTok, the big thing about TikTok, when we talk about algorithms, TikTok was a big major player in influencing the 2022 election. And yes, it's already come out. Because yes, they said these algorithms targeted these kids right after the Roe v. Wade decision came out. The amount of spending and the amount of ads that TikTok and everybody were doing targeting young kids, saying you need to get out and vote because they're taking away your right to kill a baby and women's health.
They're
and
taking away your birth control. Right. That was they're taking away your birth control. So
these kids, and these kids see that and go, well, they really are. Republicans are bad because they don't want me to kill a baby. And they think that they're telling me my body, my choice, and I get to do what I want. And they're convincing you through ads and their brainwashing.
It's all propaganda.
Right. Yeah, but it's their social engineering.
Netflix is propaganda.
Right.
All of it.
I mean, we do these trainings at work. Social engineering, right? Where you call up and you get somebody's password to get access to the keys of the kingdom without actually hacking something by just talking to people. They're using the same techniques on social media and other platforms to get people. I mean, you can even say right wingers are included in this because they do get them too. They get consumed by certain things, the QAnon stuff and all that.
It all is.
So these technologies are being used to manipulate the shit out of everybody.
Right now,
the puppet masters
to your point, Tim, right now, you know, they're using algorithms, but there's a human being behind it, right? That's kind of orchestrating this. But coming back to this AI, because I think right now we're thinking, you know, there are other human beings who are trying to influence human beings, but I'm thinking further down the future, because right now we are creating the AI. What do you think is going to happen when AI is going to be able to create a better version of itself?
Right. So I was reading an article about a year and a half ago, maybe, and there was somebody trying to develop a robot that has feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, a robot that could actually feel things and not touch sensors.
Bicentennial Man, iRobot. I mean, to the point of earlier.
We don't need robots with feelings.
No, but I'm just saying, we have the movies that
model
already.
Model it after Heidi. Who said
they
that?
They develop robots that have feelings and the capability of progressing on their own.
Yeah.
They could create more robots.
Right.
We're not worried about our toaster turning into a robot. We're worried about our robot creating another robot.
I think that's going to be the unification of humanity is going to be a fighting against AI eventually.
iRobot.
So now think about this. Remember a couple Wally. Years ago, one of the episodes, Wally. I forget what episode it was. Remember we were talking about Boston Dynamics with their robots. And they were using them to train for military and everything. But when you saw what these robots were doing,
right,
you were like, wait a minute. Now, if cops started using them, now the cops are like, oh, here's a robot. They go do a backflip and everything. They just start killing people based on what they're doing. Now the cops are like, no, that's not me. The new policing is robots. And ironically,
defund them
in San Francisco. So check this out. In woke San Francisco, and this went quiet. The city council actually voted in favor of allowing robots to do policing and use deadly force.
Yeah. What?
Within one, not even 1 week of it going into effect, the city council voted to say, oh, we're pulling it back because this is not equitable when it shoots somebody. Right. Because they realize everybody doing crime, the people doing crime,
kill everybody.
If it doesn't, and all of a sudden you're going to be on the news going, the cops killed XYZ. And they're going to go, shit, we passed this. This goes against our woke narrative. You know what I mean? So it's some crazy shit.
Well, so the thing is, who do you blame? Do you blame the programmer? Do you blame who do you blame when that happens?
I blame the criminal.
I mean, obviously, but.
Yeah, but wait, no, wait, if it makes is a mistake, criminal? Because if it makes somebody's a mistake. Doing. Wait. But you said that they could be doing backflips and it would target them. That is not a criminal doing backflips.
No. What I'm saying is the robots, the shit that these robots can do, like when they were showing the videos.
iRobot with Will Smith.
I mean, these things were doing unbelievable maneuvers that most humans cannot do.
Okay.
And they can withstand jumping off a high-ass building and not killing themselves because they're made out of,
But did they understand a criminal, the difference between a criminal and a...
They program it.
probably not, but that's probably the reason why they pulled it back is because the robot doesn't understand.
No, they pulled it back because of the community outlash because it's not equitable.
I would just
it doesn't
like
fit
to,
the equity.
Okay, but I would like to see exactly what they did in that week.
They passed it. And as soon as they passed it, the public outcry for them.
Oh, so they never launched it.
Robots never made it to the street.
Oh, okay.
They passed it, and they're about to start doing it.
Okay.
And they said these robots will be allowed to use deadly force.
Okay. I just wanted that clip.
Why would they even say that?
Because every shoplifter in San Francisco would get shot.
Well, why would they say deadly force? Why couldn't they just be like, they're patrolling?
Because if they did kill somebody and they go, well, you didn't say they were going to kill somebody. They got to tell you straight up.
Right. One of the arguments as far as using lethal force is that the officer has to be in a life threatening situation. Right. If you're a robot, there is no life to be threatened. Exactly. So they don't have any authority to use lethal force.
Yes. Right. Right.
So I think that may have been
different variations to being a criminal. Right.
Well, and that's the same thing where you keep saying about iRobot, where it's true. We're like, you can only be programmed so much where that was his big thing. Where like they chose to save the adult and not the kid because they had a higher chance of survival. But it's like, no, you've got to save the child.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to know.
Yeah.
Those types of things.
There was analytics,
but it wasn't on emotion. It was
statistics of survival.
But it's survival.
Your number.
Could
deadly force come in a situation where there's like hostages or somebody threatening another person's life?
It could be, but they see the thing is they just said they can use deadly force, but they didn't explain.
Elaborate.
They can't elaborate because here's the thing. Technically, if you are shoplifting, you're doing a crime. If you say stop and you keep running, I can use deadly force.
A police officer can't do that.
I understand, but the robot could. And then because that's the analytics isn't in the robot to say, I said stop. They're not stopping. And now I'm going to make them stop. And the only opportunity or option I have is deadly force. And that's where
drug addicts, drugs are a felony offense and you're sitting there shooting up heroin in the Mission in San Francisco and the robot comes up to you, stop doing it and go, get the fuck out of my way. And he puts his hand on the robot. Now the robot, because technically you're not allowed to put your hand on a police officer. If you do, you are now you are under arrest. And if you resist, I can use deadly force. Right. It can go. It goes so deep. And now if those things start learning on their own, because the point of AI and machine learning is you're supposed to learn and it's supposed to evolve. Yeah. This thing will evolve so fast that everybody would start getting shot.
The movie iRobot is exactly what it is that we're talking about.
Right now, there are no laws to address that stuff. There aren't any. And which is, to Jeremy's point, right? A lot of the laws apply to only human beings. They don't apply to robots. So a robot who thinks that, even if it's acting autonomously, and I don't think the California robots there is going to be some human intervention there. I don't think even robots who act autonomous, are not protected by the Constitution. They don't have
rights. That's what I was going to say. We have the Constitution, there's no way.
But never forget, in New York City, I think it was last year during either 2020 or last year. I forget. It was, they actually tried to implement robot dogs, right? Instead of having the canines, and they wanted to start using the robot dogs to use as detecting bombs, drugs, and everything. And again, they had to pull the program back because they did it for a week and, they were all over Brooklyn.
They deployed?
Oh, yeah, they deployed them and...
Results were...
Public outcry. It was not a...
See, if they deploy it, I want to see what the week worth of results are. Because public outcry in... I'm sorry, public outcry in New York and California, parts of... both states,
but
you need that shit there because the public outcry is bullshit.
Well, the crimes that they were afraid of, or things they were finding, it painted a bad picture.
Well, I will say
that means that it's really happening there, and that's why it
paints a bad picture, because then when people go, oh, this is really happening.
Yeah.
Hey guys, have you guys ever seen Walmart? The robot who like sweeps. And you're like, excuse me. It's kind of like, I don't want to be by you. It's like creeps me out.
It knows you're there and it like scoots you.
But it's like this weird, like
remember when you vote to every time to increase minimum wage, This is the ramifications of voting for
Midnight. I remember in Sam's Club, there was a guy driving the little cart around. And now you're saying in Walmart, which is the same company, there's no guy. It's just driving around by itself.
Yeah, Sam's Club doesn't
it's
have
Tesla
it anymore.
And that shit.
Yeah, Sam's Club has got a.
Oh, so Sam's Club got rid of the guy too?
Yeah.
Yeah? You like you said.
Hello, we have one in our house. The vacuums. I push a little home button or a vacuum button.
Are you talking about that little robot?
Yeah, my tie. So my tie.
Yes. The thing that we were talking about earlier, the cousin thing.
Yeah.
Her husband was part of the programming for that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, tell him I need another one because I love it.
Not
anymore.
Not the vacuum thing. The thing that goes around Walmart.
Oh, the Walmart cleaner,
been a
floor cleaner.
Never mind, I'm on the wrong topic.
So, what were you saying, Saul? Hold on, Saul had something he was saying.
The robot that goes around that you look at and said, hey, whatever Walmart thing, where's this? And it tells you the aisle.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen that yet?
Oh, there's a robot that tells you how to shop
in
Walmart?
They got it in Florida. Yes. They got them.
Oh, I'm from Florida.
So Papa Ron.
But yeah, there's a robot that scoots around. And if you say, hey, where's Dr. Pepper, it'll say, you know, oh, it's an aisle this.
Because I'm the one who always asking. No, what I was going to say is this. Look, I think that's just a microcosm of what's coming. And I don't think, sure, Tim, right now it's minimum wage that's increasing the need for these robots. But I think we are going to see a mass exodus of in the workforce of people who are going to be removed by AI, and it's going to be so huge because
what are they going to do?
Are happening right now that are siloed. Whether it's artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, whoever was talking about data analytics, big data, cloud computing, all this shit that is coming right now, robotics, all these things are kind of working in siloed. But it's going to come a point where all this shit is going to converge. All this shit is going to converge. And it's going to be talking. It's going to be on the cloud, and it's going to be fucking everywhere. Think about that future. And I think as I introduce this topic, you know, we're in it's in its primitive state compared to where it's going to be. And I don't think
Could you imagine an AI lawyer?
No, that dude.
Oh my God,
you won't win. You won't win because and again, if you get an AI lawyer, like let's think about the recent case. Right? That happened here in Arizona with Carrie Lake, where she actually presented evidence and the judge was like, yeah, but it didn't disenfranchise anybody. So she loses, which is bullshit. But an AI, and he even referenced some of the court cases, an AI would have been able to hear it all. You would have seen all the election cases. Yeah. And you know what that AI would have did? She's not governor in a new election because they violated XYZ based on
this
law.
Right now, a lawyer could have sat in that courtroom and asked ChatGPT to give it any court case that dealt with this, and how did they? Because again, to your point, it's very limited. You know, the judge has got to know about it. Everybody in that courtroom's got to know about it. But that's limited knowledge. Imagine the vast knowledge of everywhere.
You need to know how to research. You need to know how to find the cases.
And now ChatGPT.
That's in any
Well, and that's why that Axio article was saying that those AI interns, one of their main goals was doing imaging. You know, creating images and research. Right. So if you're doing the research, if ChatGPT and all these things, AI is doing your research, what the hell do you need? Why do you need a server? Why do you need a help desk, a service desk? Right. Exactly. As we're going back into this world, and I just want to touch back on the robot dogs as we're talking about AI, robotics, and all coming together. So in New York City last year, the New York Police Department, they did buy some robotic dogs to help with whatnot. And what happened was the police department acquired them. The dog is going to save lives, blah, blah, blah. So what happened was they, this is cracks me up. So officers used it at a public housing building in Manhattan in the month, and the backlash erupted right after they did that.
Nice.
In the public housing. And they got rid of the dogs right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. No, that's what I say. I'm using the left's words.
But
it's not equitable.
Right. But that's why. But that was my question, right? Is did they deploy them? Where did they deploy them? And what were the results? So you just answered those questions, right?
They deployed them in the projects.
They deployed it for a month. and it was in the projects.
A week.
Where they deployed them where the crime rate was the highest, right?
Where your crime rate is the highest in the nation.
And the most dangerous because, you know, if you see in all these movies, when you see movies of people making, you know, making crack in these apartment buildings and whatnot. Right. And what, so when the dog, I mean, that shit is happening every day in New York City. So in the projects.
Right.
So, and it's dangerous. You got people with guns and everything. So you deploy these robotic dogs.
Right.
Oh, now, guess what? They sniff it out. And all of a sudden, people go to jail.
How does a robotic dog sniff, though?
They program. They can figure
it out. Oh, yeah, they have sensors.
Okay, so I will, and I will say, like, we had this conversation. So there was a fire for one of my clients. And the fire department and the private investigator, fire investigator that was brought out by the insurance company, both of them, when they collected their samples, they were collecting them in what looked like paint buckets. So they first took the lab out, the black lab that they had for the fire department. They took it out first and it did its sniffing. Everywhere where the dog triggered that there was something there, they took a sample and then they put it in the paint bucket and they sealed it. I said, well, what are you doing with those? Because I mean, you know, as the insurance agent, I can ask a lot more questions. I was like, well, what are you doing with them? So we send them back to the lab and the bucket is opened within a machine. And the machine then does the smelling, quote unquote, smelling and the testing of what the vapors in the machine are or in the bucket are.
Yeah.
And they, so the dog does the same thing. These robotic dogs have those sensors. What they were saying was, and so my dad's like, oh my God, we had those in 1985 and we used them in Europe. They were phenomenal, but they had flaws. We were not allowed to have the same technology that they had in other places. Well, of course, you're talking 30 years, you know, well, shit, almost 40 years now. That technology has evolved and developed, and it's way better now than it ever, you know, was that back then.
Do you know
then.
Where they use that technology for like commercial use?
No.
Trash bag designs.
Really?
They take the materials that they make the trash bags out of, and they put some of the stinkiest stuff in there, and they put them in those machines to see, what does it detect? Mm. And they come back and go, okay, well, this, and this is getting blocked. But this is still making it through. So then they have to redesign the plastic to block that out as well.
Oh, wow.
They're getting better too.
They've been around for.
Yeah.
Like the thing was like the diaper genies. I don't know if you guys know what those are. They're the little thing. You put the diaper in it and it wraps it up. Well, they were like one of the big users of that because they had some serious smells that they had to take care of.
Yeah. Well, so essentially, they're building this into robotic dogs, and they're picking up the scent.
You know, to that point, though, the technology has existed for a while. You know, I think Jeremy, you were saying one time the internet existed 20 years or 30 years before it was even introduced to like the
DARPANET,
public.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly.
DARPANET.
So it exists. The government was using it. It was aware before it became widely used. So if technology is 30 years, the government's using some technology 30 years before the public uses it. Imagine what they're using today, right?
And
this is dangerous because what agencies have access to this information? What are they, or this technology? What are they doing with this technology?
And there are still flaws because, the big thing that came out, at least here in Arizona, during the fall, September, October timeframe, heavily September, October, of 2022 was the whole fentanyl, like the freak out of fentanyl. And the same police officer and fire chief and fire investigator that I was talking to, I was like, well, I don't understand. Like, if you have this technology with these computers and with these, robots and whatever, why are we experiencing fentanyl coming in the way that it is and killing, right? And so they explain that. Here is the problem with a lot of the computers when it comes to some of the substances out there. Fentanyl is the best example I can give right now. But is it so basically your fentanyl looks like a Smartie candy, right? So the Smartie candy comes in and the computer scans it. In that Smartie candy, if there's just one little like molecule of a hit of fentanyl, if the laser does not go over that exact spot or the machine doesn't go over that exact spot where that one fragment of it is, it doesn't detect it. But if the next piece comes in and it detects it, well, then that one's good. That one's bad. That one's good. So the technology is still sporadic in the sense that it can only pick up a fraction of the entire.
Right. It would have space, to destroy right? the sample in order to determine if the sample's good right. or not.
So right? you can get, let's say you get 10 of these Smarties with fentanyl and 10 people take it. And eight,
it's a party.
And eight are great and two immediately die. Well, it's because the way that the molecules or the spores or whatever of the fentanyl goes into the candy, it's uncontrolled and it hasn't been picked up by the right computer senses. And so you have more in one than you have in another.
Yeah.
And so the machines, the AI, the robots, the whatever it is, the technology isn't broad ranged enough, which
humans are flawed.
Exactly what we're talking about, right? This GPT, GTP, whatever. It's not broad enough to get it all. It's just this one little piece it's going to pick up on. Mm-hmm. And
but think about humans. Humans are the most flawed piece of technology ever because we are technology. Humans are the most I mean, when you think about how human DNA and everything, we're probably the most advanced thing that ever been designed.
My genetic testing as of yesterday tells me that I'm pretty damn pure.
No. When I say, but if you think about like the breakdown of the human physiology, like everything is so interconnected. If you mess up one little thing,
yeah.
Dude, just the fact, like even my shoulder, right? They put four holes in there and moved my tendon over. You would think like, oh, okay, no big deal. You should be able to move your arm. Dude, I can't, like your body is out of whack. You have to fix this one little section. So just so that you can get normal functioning back.
Yeah. We're going through that with Laura, right? I mean, she hurt her ankle and it just affected. And the physical therapist today, specialist, was like showing me, and you can physically see it when you know what you're looking for, but when you don't have a clue. And it affected the left leg all the way from the toe to the hip. And it can be corrected with minor work. But the normal person wouldn't do that or know that, right? I mean, so to your point, yeah.
Well, and the one thing I think we haven't quite touched on with this topic, you know, a lot of issues, but you guys remember the movie Minority Report?
So now
we're talking about how, you know, this AI is going to say, oh, you're going to kill somebody. So now you're in jail before you've even done it.
Yes. Chinese social credit score.
Social credit score.
With Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Social credit score.
Okay, hold on. I need it.
It's preventative.
Can I go back to what you said about humans being flawed, though? Fun fact, did you know that chimpanzees and humans only have a 2% difference in DNA?
Probably. That sounds
it's mostly hair.
Yeah. We are sitting with a chimpanzee right now. Hello.
If you look at how more we don't have
but we are also our DNA is like 98% the same as a strawberry. So let's just
we would get out of DNA strawberry.
Yes, a strawberry.
Ooh, strawberries are yummy.
Strawberries are delicious. Yeah. That's why I was like, I ain't mad about it, but juicy. I'm also like, wait a second, I feel like I'm not that smarter.
I'm juicy.
Samantha, you touched on a point there that I think is so true because
strawberry?
that is the scary part of the future, right? Because now you're not going to be judged on what you've done. You're going to be judged on what you could potentially do because mm-hmm. of your behavior. And you're like, well, and so then the argument will be, we could have prevented this.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then so now if that person goes on and does something, kills people, then and people saw this before it happened, are they now accountable for all these deaths?
Well, so that argument has been made decades previous to even us sitting here and talking about this, when they were talking about like XY chromosomes and how serial killers have XXY chromosomes. And if you just tested that when they were born, you would have known and could predict as an infant that they were going to be psycho because of the XXY. Yep. I mean, like that came up, right?
Nature versus nurture, here's
a question. Did our forefathers foresee the future when they said innocent until proven guilty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they're aliens.
Yeah.
Maybe they were aliens.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, I feel like it's you're guilty until proven innocent.
That's the new law is that you're guilty until proven innocent instead of innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. So I made a crack about my genetic testing being pure, and it was obviously a joke.
Nobody paid attention.
Oh, would you just shut the
Tim didn't pay attention. He's a man.
Yeah. Thank you.
I heard.
Mute his ass.
I hear everything.
Anyways, So I had a breast cancer scare in, I don't know, October, November, something like that.
Wow.
And they...
I'm just playing.
You want to be
playing.
Educated? I know. Ignorant.
He's mute. All right, he's on Thank mute. Don't you. Worry okay. about it.
So anyways, so I voluntarily, I'm like, well, hold on. First of all, if I have a chance of having cancer genetically at any given time, I want to know now because I need to plan this shit. I just can't be sick all of a sudden and go through all of whatever it takes to fix it. So my doctor who did the testing and whatever and said, was telling me about it, gave me a list of people to go to for genetic testing. And they were able to genetically test for cancers, a list of cancers, and then come back and give me results and go, yeah, you don't have any of these and you did not give them to your kids. I like, that's a huge yeah. deal, right?
That's what Anjali Jonali did. That's why she took out her. She had enough of them where they're like, this means this later is, down the
you
line.
You will have it at some point.
So she was like, just take it out now.
Right. Your risk is high. Yeah.
So
I had like 5.
That's came, what I work for.
A lab.
A place that
specializes in things like that.
Yeah. So that was phenomenal. That was great. But how
and it's
that,
a shit show. So be careful.
Yeah. Now that I know that Tim, now that I know that Timmy works for something like that, I think I need to get a second opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right, guys, let's close it out. Let's close it out. But I'm going to close it out with this one. And this is actually, I saw this and I was laughing. So the first iteration of AI was, you guys remember, what was it? Clippy?
Watson? Oh, Clippy.
You guys remember Clippy? The office?
That was the worst thing ever. Microsoft couldn't get it right.
The joke on the screen, somebody starts writing, I have your child, and Clippy responds to suggestion is like, looks like you're writing a ransom note. Would you like help? Use stronger language. You'll get more money. No, funny. But here's the deal. You know that this AI will be harnessed by evil people who are going to be making these type of suggestions. How do I get away with a crime? How do I, you know, come on.
How do I bury a body?
Exactly.
I love Clippy.
All right, we're going to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Bye.
Guten Tag.
Later.
Bye.
See ya.
Don't steal classified documents and store them in your garage.
Oh, my God.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of The
Salty Show.
.com.